Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is a Falcons Friday, headed to a big weekend, doubleheader on Sunday. Falcons at 1 with Wes and Dave on the call at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and then Atlanta United at 7 with a game against Chicago up north with, of course, Mike Conley and Jason Longshore. Hugh, I don't know how we did last week. You know, picking games is not my long suit. Are you pretty confident in picking games, or?
I don't put that much thought into it, John, but obviously you do because you kind of throwing it out there like, you know, it's not like you didn't do that well that last week.
I have no idea how I did. Well.
But how you do, Abe? I know Abe, though, because you and Abe kind of like are the cut from the same cloth when it come like that, come to that.
I don't know. Who did what last week, Abe?
Let me pull it up. I got pictures of all the picks and records, and it's not going well for any of us, to be honest. Let's see. Oren is the only genius between us who picked Dallas, so that went well for him. We all picked, we all picked Miami. Three of us picked, UCF. Went
You're supposed to,
Oren. To
keep the records, Hugh. I mean, it's supposed to be like,
I'm busy, guys. I'm pulling double duty. I got time to listen to y'all's nonsense about, I mean, what do you want me to tell you?
We all have a losing record.
We all have a losing record.
And then it gets personal.
Hugh picked the Eagles again. John, you picked the Eagles again. We all picked the Eagles. We all picked Georgia Tech except for Oren. It's not going well.
No, that's what I thought.
Hugh was the only genius to pick Cam Newton, though. The rest of us went with Seattle, appropriately.
Yep. Well, all right.
Really?
It's not going well for us, so, you know, we'll try again this week. We'll reload and see what we got. This is our pick six segment. You've got Oren's picks, correct? Is that right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Here we go. Pick six. Three college games, three NFL games. First college game is kind of interesting, guys. Army and Cincinnati are playing in Nippert Stadium. I still want to know what a Bearcat is.
It's a cat that
– bear.
Never mind.
Bearcat. Okay. Anyway.
They ran up on a bear and they had a baby.
Yeah. Bearcat. Luke Fickell's Cincinnati Bearcats. Two ranked teams here, and Army, which leads the nation in rushing again this season. Number 22, Cincinnati, number 14. Neither has really played anybody. Cincinnati beat Austin Peay, Auburn. Army beat Middle Tennessee and somebody else. I don't forget who they played. But now they get their first true test. And what's interesting about this isn't just this game, Hugh, but also with Central Florida beating Georgia Tech last week the way they did, we talk about now here comes the Pac-12, here comes the Mountain West Conference. You know, will one of these teams, like, and a lot of people wonder about Cincinnati, will one of these teams, Hugh, Cincinnati, Central Florida, Army, will somebody be, an unbeaten 11-0 team and at least in the discussion about making the playoff this year? And there are a lot of people that think Cincinnati might be that team, that they could be that good.
So is that your way of saying that you're picking Cincinnati, John?
I am picking Cincinnati.
Over Army?
Yeah. That's what I'm going to go with.
Since we're picking this game, I'm going to I think I'm going to pick Army in this one. I just got a feeling. That's fine. I'll take that. Like, listen, unlike you guys, I'm not made or broken by my picks. My picks that I make, I pick them on feel. I feel good about
your record shows that. Don't worry.
Hey, sticks and stones, man. Sticks and stones. Sticks and stones.
Sticks and stones may break your bones, but your record is never
what it 500. Is. It is what it is.
Well, Orin's going Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. I'm in camp with you here, John. You can talk about UCF all you want. I think Cincinnati – no, look, I don't think any of these teams are getting in. But if we're going to be talking about a team that is in that discussion, I think it's Cincinnati more so than it is UCF. They already beat the hell out of Boston College week one, won by 4 or 5 touchdowns, whatever it was. I like Cincinnati here big.
The second game is really interesting because ESPN just had David Pollack on there. We're talking about upset alert in the SEC. And I always think, you know, look, I love David Pollack, but you got to be careful because, you know, Auburn fans get in their feeling. David Pollack starts saying, well, Auburn's on upset alert. Auburn fans, really, Georgia guy? Okay, Georgia guy, talk to me more about Georgia guy, because they get into all their feelings about stuff like this. But is Auburn on upset alert at home against Kentucky on Saturday? Because, you know, Kentucky comes in, pretty good team, got a veteran quarterback. You know, this is a program that has, you know, when it first, Mark Stoops first started to get good, Hugh, there were some people that kind of went, eh, okay, you know, we've seen this before. We've seen Kentucky have kind of a one-off where they had a good season, and we have. You know what? They've been consistently good now, quietly consistently good. They haven't had a breakthrough, but they've been consistently good now for 5 or 6 years. And so this Kentucky team comes in here, and people no longer take them, you know, used to be you looked at Kentucky on your football schedule, and you went, all right, that's a win. Lick your thumb and go, win there. Not no more. They're pretty good.
So you're picking Auburn, basically what you're saying.
Who do you like, Kentucky and Auburn?
I've been on Kentucky's bandwagon for a while. And I know Auburn has had a lot of seniors. Well, like they lost a lot on defense, like we talked about earlier. I'm going to go Kentucky.
Kentucky for Hugh in the Kentucky-Auburn game. Who does Orin like?
Orin is going Auburn.
And you, Abe?
I actually really do like Kentucky. And I probably would have gone Kentucky.
I should have known. I should have known because he didn't say anything snippy.
Too many people are going Kentucky, though. It's weird. And you've dealt with this, John, where you like a sleeper, you like an underdog, and then so many people like them, you don't like them anymore. That's kind of where I'm at with this game. There's still questions at quarterback for Kentucky after Lynn Bowden Jr. left running the single-wing offense last year. I would not be surprised if Hugh Douglas nails this one, but I am going to go with Auburn.
Wow, he made it personal there?
That's a good pick, Hugh. You're desperate after picking Army in game one, so I understand.
You see how it got personal? Just that quick, it got personal. It's just a pick. It got personal. Boy, I tell you. Fine.
Well, I think that Auburn has been a program that has been quietly, you know, kind of right behind, you know, sort of a little Georgia-ish, but right behind Alabama and Oklahoma and Clemson and Ohio State, the kind of the big four in college football in terms of reloading and not rebuilding. And I know that they lost a lot on their defensive line, and they lost, you know, we mentioned it earlier, their starting running back transferred, and you lose Derek Brown and Marlon Davidson. Hopefully Marlon Davidson is as good as we think he might be for the Atlanta Falcons, but they tend to reload in certain spots, especially when it comes to the heavies, because they just get so many guys that are 4- and 5-star guys in the interior. I think at Auburn, you know, it's not going to be the intense crowd that you would have down on the plains, but there's still going to be some, you know, some emotion down there. I'm going to stick with the home team and go with Auburn. Georgia goes into Arkansas, and Kirby Smart talks about
Orin and I also picked Georgia.
Well, of course, Orin did. He's a Georgia guy. Nobody's going to pick Arkansas in this game, but we have to have maybe we should pick it against the spread. Maybe that's how we should do it. What is it, 26.5?
Chad Millman told me yesterday not to touch this game on the spread.
Yeah, and I'm not a better, and I'm not about to start trying to figure all that out. Georgia, that's all. Georgia, that's it.
Yeah, because Auburn's got the Arkansas's got the veteran quarterback and a quarterback that knows Georgia. Not that he knows all the players that are out there right now, but Felipe Franks knows a little bit about.
John, you can move on. I wrote down Georgia under your name. You're not selling this game to any of us. I already wrote down Georgia for you.
Here, let's do the NFL. Rams and Bills.
What'd you say? Rams or what?
Rams or Bills?
Rams.
in Buffalo and the Bills Mafia, both teams trying to go to 3-0. OB,
I like the Bills Mafia, though. I like the Bills Mafia. I just don't like them against Aaron Donald and the Rams.
Who does Oren like in this game?
Oren is siding with Hugh Douglas and taking the Rams.
And, Abe, you like?
I am not siding with Hugh Douglas and taking the Rams. I like the Bills. I think, look, when you talk about which teams are real, and I know, John, you've had some thoughts on the Rams and where they really stand in the NFC West, and I believe you also predicted the Bills to win the AFC East. And I'm kind of aligning with you there. Look, I know there's been some comments about Josh Allen. He looks really, really good this season. The addition of Stephon Diggs cannot be understated for their offense. I think the Bills are more legitimate of a 2-0 team than the Rams are, and I think at home the Bills pick up a win and go to 3-0.
I agree. I think the Bills are a legit team. I think they're a playoff team. I think they're a 10 or 11 win team. And so I think the Bills get this one and continue what is going to be a season where they win the AFC East. Packers and Saints in New Orleans. Interesting game, Hugh.
Saints.
That was quick. Any particular reason?
Yes, because I feel like Drew Brees is going to have a bounce back game. You know, a lot of people have been talking about that. Like, this is the thing. It was like, what, 5 years ago when Drew Brees had that little, I guess, that little shoulder surgery or whatever, and everybody talked about how his accuracy was off and everything, and he went on a tear. That's why. I just think that he's not done yet. Now, he might be done after this year, but I don't think he's done yet.
Who does Oren like in the Packers and Saints?
Oren likes the Packers.
And you, Abe?
My fantasy football team tells me Mike Thomas still ain't playing, Hugh.
So?
So the Saints are not bouncing back without the best player on their team.
Okay,
the Packers
fine, that's
get
fine.
The win here, even okay. without Davante Adams.
Okay.
And we don't know about Davante Adams. He's going to be a game-time decision here. You know, we talked about it earlier. I said, you know, this game is, you know, both defenses have been challenged at times so far this year, even though the Packers are 2-0. Minnesota moved the ball up and down the field on them. Lions did early. So I'm not really sold on their defense. You have Aaron Rodgers and you have Drew Brees. You have Aaron Jones. You have Alvin Kamara. You have maybe Davante Adams or maybe not, and not Michael Thomas. So a lot of canceling out going on here. I think the Saints bounce back. You know, much as I would love to
listen
see the Packers
to your
get on
heart.
I can't believe I'm writing down Saints under John Freeman's name.
As much as I would love to say the Packers are going to get on there and win, I think the Saints will bounce back at home and win this game. All right.
Listen to your heart.
Bears and Falcons, Hugh. You know who I'm picking.
1-0,
baby. 1-0.
Do I really want to buy back into this? Listen
to your heart.
You're Super Bowl champions there.
I am picking the Falcons just because I got Falcons friends. I got Falcons fans that are friends, and I don't want to hurt their feelings. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm rolling with the Falcons once again. Listen to your heart.
His own Super Bowl champion.
There's no way a team that loses to this Falcons team is winning the Super Bowl. That's all right. Oren and I both go Falcons.
Yeah, I'm going to go Falcons too. 1-0, baby. 1-0. All the way 1-0. No onside kicks. 1-0. And you know if there is another one, they're going to put the ball down and do that watermelon kick. They're going to try that again. You know that's going to happen. What Kirby Smart, we were just talking about Georgia and Arkansas. Let's talk a little bit about this. What do you want to see from Georgia in the opening game if you're a Dogs fan? What the coach said about the quarterbacks and more. We have the audio. We'll play it for you next on the about 28 hours away from the SEC openers on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and worldwide at radio.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Download the radio.com app and take us with you wherever you go.
Just go. Catch up on the latest Atlanta sports, no matter where you are. If Atlanta sports matter to you,
get the radio.com app and never miss a thing.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
DeJuan's done a great job. He has embraced every opportunity. He's competed. He's gotten better. He's very talented with his feet. He understands what we're asking him to do. You know, I think he's done a great job preparing, and so has Carson Stetson and JT. They really all have done a good job preparing for this moment, and I feel comfortable with all those guys.
Kirby Smart talking about the fact that the Dogs have a lot of welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 in the game as they get ready for Arkansas. The Dogs have a lot of talent. Four and five star guys way deep on the depth chart all over the place, including DeJuan Mathis, who was a highly touted Ohio quarterback, Hugh. who came to Georgia, you know, about the same time that, you know, he decommitted from Ohio State, came to UGA after Justin Fields flipped and went to Ohio State. And so it was kind of a weird situation where one went one and the other came down here. Might turn out to the benefit of Georgia in terms of we get to finally see Dewan Mathis. I am assuming he's going to be the guy under center tomorrow when the Dogs take their first snap against Arkansas.
Yeah, I think everybody's assuming that, John. You know, I even kind of went with that. That'd be the first black quarterback to start since DJ Shockley, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, everybody's kind of going with that. It's going to be exciting to see. I think, honestly, he's going to have an opportunity to make the job his if he goes out there and he handles his business. I mean, you know, if you're playing well, I can't see them snatching your job. I mean, but he has to play extremely well. And I think, you know, he's going to be given a huge opportunity to show out tomorrow.
Yeah, what are your expectations from Georgia this season, you know, especially as they go into this opening game against Arkansas? 404-741-0929. Quickly on the offense, Todd Monken's offense, new quarterback, a lot of new parts here. Zeus, Zamir White has a chance, Hugh, to have a breakout. And I'll just kind of go through this list, and you can kind of pick one as you see it. No Dominic Blaylock, got injured again. That's a big loss for the downfield presence. But you do have, you know, Pickens out there. You have
George Pickens.
You know, certainly other options. Demetrius Robinson, if he ever, you know, turns into anything that we expect him to. And then you get a 5-star tight end and Darnell Washington. Everybody thinks is going to be a star. But again, freshman, solid, experienced offensive line. But on the, you know, behind center and on, you know, the edges here, George is going to be young a little bit.
Yeah, but I if you were asking me, John, about who I think is going to be the breakout player or the guy that's going to have to step up, I still remember when, you know, Coach Smart called out the receiving core, you know, and he talked about how, you know, there was nobody on this squad that was a pro-style receiver, you know, an NFL-caliber receiver. So I think George Pickens kind of took that to heart. He's going to go out there and he's going to do his thing.
Scott wants to jump into this. Scott, what are the expectations of Georgia fans for this offense and for this team this year?
For me, I'm really hoping that they're able to score fast and score often because, you know, you see with Clemson and Alabama and Ohio State, the you know, the teams that we have to compete with in the playoffs, is they're able to score pretty much at will, and when they need a score, they're able to get it. So that's what I'm, you know, most looking forward to seeing with this Georgia offense, is if we can, you know, put points up on the board and put it up quickly.
You know, it's one of the things that Georgia, you know, has at its arsenal. Thanks, Scott, for the call. And, you know, dog fan, looking forward to it, 404-741-0929. Is that some teams, Hugh, they score fast, and that's great, but then they have to put their defense on the field. And by the third quarter or fourth quarter, they put their defense on the field so many times that their defense becomes exhausted. That happens to some teams. Georgia has a luxury, and that is that they can play a lot of guys on defense because they're deep at every position. So, you know, you get to the third and fourth quarter, I mean, they basically could play. They can rotate 22, 25 guys on that defensive at all levels of their defense and stay fresh for the game.
Yeah, that's the one thing I remember about, like, most SEC schools, John, is that you have so many guys that are good that, you know, it doesn't matter if you can switch guys out, you know, and it doesn't matter how much you actually play because, you know, you got the dearth of talent at each position. So, yeah, that's a huge thing. When you talk about, you know, playing a tough game and it's being a physical game, to have those guys out there that you can interchange like that, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and you've got guys that can really hunt the quarterback. You know, Trayvon Walker, you know, Malik Herring, and Kobe Dean, who's going to be kind of an outside linebacker this year. I mean, they could do some quarterback hunting, serious quarterback hunting. So they've got a lot of talent. And, you know, the defensive secondary has guys like Campbell and Stokes and LeCount. I mean, they're going to be, you know, as close to whatever amounts to a lockdown, you know, secondary. On paper, Hugh, fact of the matter is, when you talk about guys like Jordan Davis and Monty Rice and add in all the depth, Georgia might have the best, on paper again, the best defense in the nation.
Yeah, but, you know, and you heard some of the players basically talk about that, John. They got the best defense on paper, but that means nothing. They got to go out there and they got to execute. That's what it's all about. You know, we've been talking about that for a while. Execute. Got to go out there and execute.
Right, exactly. And again, this is going to be falling upon a young quarterback. This is why it will be interesting to see what Dewan Mathis and how he handles this opening game, because Georgia does jump into the fire of the SEC. They got Auburn and Alabama and Tennessee and Florida and Kentucky. I mean, it's going to be nonstop for Georgia once they get past this Arkansas game. I don't think they're taking Arkansas lightly. Certainly the coaching staff at Arkansas, Sam Pittman, former longtime Georgia coach, knows the team really well. He's got a veteran quarterback that knows Georgia and Felipe Franks. Arkansas has really struggled as a program. I get that. And Arkansas fans are not happy with the fact that they haven't been able to be a factor now for quite some time. But at the same time, you have a Georgia team that can't afford to overlook them either, Hugh, because they've got to, you know, break in a new quarterback, whether it's, you know, JT Daniels or Dwan Mathis or Carson Beck. They've got to break in a new quarterback and they've got to break in a new system. And they don't have a whole lot of time to get this right. So I understand your point about whoever starts this week, probably going to start against Auburn, has a chance to be the guy for the year.
Arkansas still SEC team, so you don't want to take them too lightly, you know, because they can sneak up on you. And then the storyline will change real quick in the SEC as far as, you know, the predictions of who's going to do what and all that other stuff. So, yeah, you don't want to get caught slipping.
And it's going to be interesting, you know, has Georgia ascended to that status now where, you know, Clemson and Alabama and Ohio State and Oklahoma, we talk about those, you know, hey, listen, they go from one quarterback to the next, and, you know, they go from one running back to the next and one linebacker to the next, and they stay Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State and Oklahoma. Can Georgia do that? Because, you know, here you had, whether you liked him or not, Hugh, there was a comfort level with Jake Fromm that they had, you know, and so now we find out whether or not they can, you know, change and not miss a beat or even take a step up, because even though there was a comfort level with Jake Fromm, just to what Scott was talking about, there was a somewhat of a lack of explosion on that offense, which is why we were talking about it at the end of the year that maybe they needed to evolve the offense, is that they were somewhat predictable. You know, you could load the line up and load the box up a little bit on them and try to take that running game away from a DeAndre Swift or, in this case, a Zamir White. And because you didn't really worry about that, you know, their ability to stretch the field.
Yeah, I think a part of that was because I think in the first half, you know, George Pickens wasn't playing because, you know, he was suspended or whatever. And then when he came out the second half, he played well. But I think at that point, it was a little bit too late, you know, so there was that. But, yeah, to have a quarterback back there, that dynamic, that can be a threat in the running game, you know, and to pull it down and make plays with his legs. That is something that hasn't been – I would say a part of Georgia's offense since DJ Shockley. So, yeah, that would be something that's new, a new wrinkle you could throw in there.
You know, definitely. And it'd be interesting to see Darnell Washington if he grabs the job and becomes a target for – and this is no offense to Ike Nauta or anybody else that played tight end, but tight ends at Georgia have been okay. That's pretty much what they've been. They haven't been weapons. And, you know, if Georgia's going to run more of a pro style, you have to have a tight end who's a real weapon, especially one that can – you know, make explosive plays down the field. So we'll see, again, how Georgia does this. But to the extent that they're going to have to be able to have explosive plays and not have Dominic Blaylock out there, one of the most explosive players on the team, is going to be, you know, a real challenge for this club. So I'm going to be interested to see what kind of a year Zeus has. They've got such a good offensive line, Hugh, that if they can just get the defenses to back off just a little bit, they should be able to run the ball. I'm looking forward to it, watching this Georgia team, because you know what's going to happen, Hugh, and this does happen at times, is that for all the talk about Georgia winning a national championship over the last 3 or 4 years, it happens in a year where, you know, when you're this good a program at this level, it happens in a year when no one really expects it, when everything suddenly clicks for you. And I think for Georgia, there's the defense, the running game. There are a lot of things here that kind of check boxes. Though you don't have the comfort, you don't want to talk about comfort level for Georgia, Hugh. How about no Rodrigo Blankenship?
Oh yeah, he was clutch. That was a guy right there, Rodrigo, that you could, you know, it seemed like he was here forever. He seemed like he was one of those cats that was here forever, and he was just Mr. Clutch. So yeah, not to have him, that's going to be a little different. But I look at Dwan Mathis. I look at this as an opportunity. I look at this as an opportunity for this young man to show what he can do. And stick and stay. You know, a lot of times going to schools, especially a school like Georgia, I would assume that, you know, you never know or you never think that you're going to get an opportunity to play early, you know, especially when you talk about the depth of at that position. So now, you know, with Jamie Newman opting out and JT Daniel not being able to go, you're in a position now where you can go out there and show them what you can do. And if you play well, who's to say that it's not your job?
Will a star be born tomorrow in Dwan Mathis for the Georgia Bulldogs when they take on 4 o'clock kick against Sui Sui Pig 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 in Arkansas in the SEC opener? SEC football's here, and so is Tanitra. And she does a little bit of sweet tea Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Must be 8:40. It is going to be the 8:40 segment. Tanitra Batiste jumping into the program next with Sweet Tea on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Talk a little Falcons and more with her on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and worldwide at radio.com.
What's up, Atlanta?
Go ahead.
This is Randy McMichael with the Midday Shows with Andy and Randy. Every day at 1:40, I ask us anything. Make sure you make the questions creepy, especially on Fridays. And me and Andy will do our best to answer them all on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show on a Falcons Friday, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Mobile Kia Studios. John and Hugh and Tanitra Batiste joins us every Monday, Wednesday, Friday for Sweet Tea. And jumps into the program now. Of course, she covers the Falcons for us at Flowery Branch. Hey, Tanitra, what up?
Tanitra.
How are you, Hugh? How are you?
How you
Hello.
Doing?
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, yeah, but a little technical difficulty,
Okay. John, or is that there's tepidness in your voice, John. So is it a good Falcons Friday or is it a Falcons Friday? I mean, what is
I can't imagine why. the Bears, just salty and just totally stuck. The Bears kick off and they put the ball on the ground.
Oh, John!
That's terrible, John. That was kind of bad.
Yeah.
That was kind of
okay.
Bad.
Picking up where we left off on Wednesday.
Yeah, that would be anyway. So, but the good news is that. You know, at least there are going to be, 500 fans in the stands, so there'll be people there to root on the team, family and friends. And they're all talking this. You know what's got me going here, Tanitra, is this whole thing, because we heard it from Keanu Neal, and then I heard it again from Darquez Denard, so it must be a thing that they're preaching in the locker room. 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. That's what they're all talking about, 1-0.
Yeah, I just kind of tapped out on that, too. And you're absolutely right. The first time I heard it, I tweeted about it, and I literally had to play it back because Keanu came with it earlier in the week on Wednesday when we had media availability, this whole concept of 1-0. And don't get me wrong. I do think that you have to reset your mind somehow just to, wash away.
But you ain't trying to hit that mess.
Yeah. To me, that sounded like almost like, how we say coach speak, player speak.
Yeah.
It didn't resonate well with me. I'd rather you just say the reality is, yes, we're down 0-2. And yes, the way we got there on Sunday was not a good look. But the reality is also that the top of the NFC South is only 1-1. And the vaunted Saints, who were supposed to just run away with things, they look real shaky on Sunday. So to me, that's the better message that you should say, 0-2 is not that far off of 1-1, considering how the Bucks and the Saints got to 1-1, that's where your encouragement lies. But the whole concept of 1-0, kind of no.
Like they don't count. The two games didn't count.
Yeah.
You're moving on.
Exactly. See, yeah.
And you know what? I think another thing is that this fan base has felt like they've been lied to for the last few seasons. And for you to even sit there and say that, listen, I understand where Keanu Neal has come from.
Sure. Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Yes.
I'm on the other side. Yeah, I'm on the other side of this. And I hear, I can relate to what the fans hear when they say stuff like that. And basically, it's like you're just telling me another lie. And they ain't trying to hear that right now. Nobody's trying to hear that.
Yeah, I think there could have been just a little bit of a different framing, almost like saying, instead of saying, hey, 1-0, just say, hey, we're going to take it one game at a time and all we're looking for is, like I've been saying in the flash throughout, look at it more as the first win of the 2020 season as opposed to 1-0, because at the end of the day, if you win that game, which by all accounts, it looks very, very good for the Falcons to be able to pull it off, you're still going to be 1-2. Still not a bad space to be in, by the way, after the third week of the season. And then going back to what John said, I was thinking about that, John, because I'm already kind of looking to October, kind of excited about the possibilities on some levels, still have a little bit of a concern, but excited about the possibilities of having even more fans in the stands in October. But I think it'll be interesting to see sort of how this whole thing plays out, just how we navigate the waters of having that first 500 in on Sunday.
It's to me, it's interesting. A couple of things about this game. One is the Falcons are really dinged up. And you know, if you get guys who do or don't play, you know, that's really going to depend upon, you know, the game time decision in a lot of cases. And then you and Denitra, when they do play, how effective are they going to be?
Right, because when you look at the injury report coming out on Thursday and you see that 8 players did not participate, and you know, John, it's not just about the numbers, you know, to your point, it's where those individuals are and what their injuries are. So when you're looking at the fact that you have 8 players who didn't participate on Thursday, that's at least one down from Wednesday. But your limited participation now includes Devontae Casey moving from a did not practice on Wednesday, right? But a lot of those players are, one, on defense, and two, they're in that space where you really kind of need help. So one of the things that, you know, Abe and I, we just kind of bounce things off of one another from time to time, and we're kind of looking at Rico Allen, Tack McKinley, Foye Oluokun, just as an example, and that's not to mention, you know, Dante Fowler as well. Who are you going to miss if they can't go on Sunday? Who's going to make the most impact? And I said, you know, John Hugh, you can make the case for any one of them, because you're looking at the Bears, and the one place where they shine more, of course, is on the run side of the ball. But Foye had his way with it. I mean, he kept Ezekiel Elliott in check in the beginning of the Cowboys game, and of course, also forced the 3 fumbles. But you also saw a lot in the way of secondary communication. Now, listen, this is not just me talking about that. The secondary, as well as the coaches, talked about how critical pre-snap communication is. When Rico left, to me, it looked like that was a huge piece for them kind of losing their quarterback, for lack of a better term, on the defensive side. And I'm not quite trusting Sherrod Neesman if he has to go. But I still say, even to your point with all the injuries, the advantage probably still goes to Tack in the D-line, just because you can go after Mitch Trubisky. And even if, you know, Fowler's banged up, you don't know what Marlon Davidson is going to do. Tyler Davidson, John Kaminsky, they've been quiet. But Tack's absence probably hurts you the most. So that's kind of the one I'm looking to see. What report are we going to get today in terms of who goes and who doesn't?
It is Tanidra Patisse. She covers the Falcons for us. She does Sweet Tea Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8:40. You know, the mindset of the team coming in here, you know, at the beginning of the year was to get off to a quick start, because everybody had talked about the bad starts of the last 2 years, and here we go again. And so I wonder, you know, and Hugh, maybe you could speak to this a little bit more than it, because you played.
Yeah.
You know, at what point does it kind of get between your ears where you start to, you know, doubt starts to creep in a little bit, and you start to worry the second something starts to go wrong, you go, oh, here we go again?
I would probably say about game 7 or 8. All depends on how these next couple go. I think that there's still some optimism there, you know, because you still hear guys talk about how good the team is. And they're a good football team. Not saying that they aren't. Mm-hmm. They're a good football team. But it starts to creep in. Say if it goes south this weekend. Now you start to think, like, what the hell are we doing? And, you know, you'll come back Monday, you know, watch film, and you'll correct the mistakes, and you'll get back on the horse. But as that progresses, if it keeps going, then you start to wonder, like, man, what the hell are we doing? But I don't think they're there yet. They're nowhere near there.
Yeah.
I think they still believe in the coach. I think that they feel like there's a few tweaks here or there that they can fix, and everything will be fine. I think that's what they're thinking, John.
Yeah.
And that's why we're leaning on you, Tanitra, because, again, just for the sake of transparency, you know, those of us, like, you know, who are hosts here, we don't get to see the team. I mean, it's just so odd for us not to be able to go out on Wednesday and kind of get a line on the team and see where they're at. You know, spend time with the guys, because we're not allowed to. So, you know, you become so much more, I mean, not that you aren't incredibly valuable to us, you are, but even more so in this day and age, because you can really give us kind of the insight, you know. So I'm going to lean on you when you're telling me that the team still has that confidence. That's a good thing to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will tell you, just not just being up there on Wednesday, but also being on the calls and kind of watching body language and kind of listening to what they're saying on Monday and Thursday, there's no panic, and there shouldn't be. Again, this is only the third game, and the one strength you see on defense for the Falcons, which is in stopping the run, if they get a chance to get that done, then, hey, we're you know, the Falcons are good to go. And one more thing, guys, before we wrap up, I think one of the critical things, one of the keys, is going to be not just this whole concept of tale of two halves. I think it's tale of the third quarter. If you remember from back in the day with the Bulls and even with the Warriors being able to come out and just put their foot on folks' necks in the third quarter in basketball, if the Falcons can figure that out, meaning score, score, score in the third quarter and stop the Bears from scoring in the third quarter, I think they walk away with a W.
Indeed.
She is at Tanitra Patisse on Twitter. You can follow her. She is our Falcons reporter and, of course, our news anchor and much more. And A very interesting follow, so we highly encourage you to do that. Big story and more next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.